lineup offering fuel efficiency and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. Once again with Christian.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's gonna run out, and Bama's gonna win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 73. Clear tonight with the low at 44. Tomorrow is sunny day. The high 75. Sunday and Monday, partly sunny both days. Highs between 71 and 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge. With New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son. Four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
For all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, also known as a Prediction Friday, because we will be taking predictions, talking predictions, and giving our final thoughts on the matchup ahead this weekend. Alabama taking on the number 11th ranked Sooners. They travel to Tuscaloosa. Technically a revenge game, I guess. Not I guess. I mean, it is that. We know how it went last year. And it's kind of funny. It's like everything's flipped, right? Now we've got homecoming with these guys coming to town and looking forward to a good game, man. Really excited about it. I love defensive games, Chase. And I think this could be one of those. I definitely think it could be one of those games talking about their defense. We've talked plenty about it. I'm sorry. Look, they've got a good one. I think it could be huge in this game. And we've got a pretty solid defense, right? We've come a long way since week one and have done some really good stuff. as a defensive unit. So I think it could be one of those matchups, which I love, man, as a defensive guy. We don't see them as much anymore with today's day and age in college football. Things are a little bit different, a lot of high-scoring type games. Not like he used to be, but always love and appreciate getting some good defensive matchups. And I think that's what we'll see in this football game. I think it really could come down to it. Who can get the last stop, the most stops, and which offense can capitalize off of those. We'll dive into all that here in a minute, as we like to do here on the Miller's Edge. Plus, let me tell you about our friends real quick about the Good Feet store. Speaking of this game this weekend, we got another Good Feet Kick for Challenge this weekend. Home game, homecoming. You have a chance to be selected. It's not too late, so make sure you go sign up right now. Stop what you're doing and go sign up right now. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Name, email, that's all you need. And you're signed up. If you get selected, you get a chance to go kick some field goals. And if you make the field goals, you get free cash. Literally free cash if you make the field goals, right? Kind of like what you see on College game day. Now, I don't think it's that sum of money. Now, they're throwing out a lot of money. This is a good bit of money, though. It's a, you know, a couple $1,000, man. That's a lot of money. So make sure you guys sign up, goodfeetkickforcash.com. And also, don't forget about the Good Feet store in general if you need those arch supports that will help eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. They'll take care of it. Game changers. If you're like me, always on your feet, doing a bunch of walking, whether it's at work, at the gym, in the neighborhood, whatever, right? You know how it is. You start feeling a little achy knees, ankles, hips, lower back pain, all that good stuff. These arch supports are designed to knock that out, clinically proven to do so in 4 weeks. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet store, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. Goodfeet.com to find the nearest location. Again, that's the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase, man, I'll be honest with you. Homecoming. I haven't really experienced a whole bunch of homecoming because in college I was always busy. The only thing I got to experience for homecoming when I was in school here was the bonfire, which I'm sure they still do. I'm pretty sure that's homecoming that I'm thinking of. But it was like the bonfire, and they let the seniors or the leadership group. Yeah, because we hadn't voted captains at that point. It's like the senior slash leadership group would leave the hotel Friday night and then go give a little, like we used to just jump on the mic and just say quick, you know, love to have you guys out there support us tomorrow, Roll Tide. And then just go through line real quick. Then we go take our bus back to the hotel and get back to our meetings and whatnot and snack and all that stuff. You didn't go to school here, Chase. I know you went to state. Or wait, are you studying here right now technically? I can't remember.
So I'm a student at state. I'm a senior. I transitioned over to online format when I moved here last year, and I graduated in December.
That's right. I was about to say, I wasn't sure if you were taking classes here yet when you did come over from state. Well, then I guess you're not really going to have any answers on this. I was going to ask, like, in terms of, like, all the homecoming festivities or things that go on. I just was curious because I never, like I just said, I never experienced anything like that. Maybe our listeners will have some more thoughts on that. I don't know. I just was curious on, like, what all this homecoming entail. I know they vote for, like, homecoming king and queen. To my knowledge, there's a lot of politics involved in that or something. I remember there's, like, a whole bunch of drama. Something about, like, sororities, like, kind of scamming the system. I don't know. Anyway, I just was curious. I was going to ask you, and I know Reed would have, I guess he's a student here, but he's not in the studio today. So
anyway, I went last year for the very first time. I was invited by some of my friends, and it was an experience like no other. Christian, like the bonfire you were explaining, it was huge. The thing was hot. They had LED lights in the sky, you know, playing Roll Tide, you know, Dixie Dan Delight. I know they had a prep rally prior. They had Kellen DeBoer talk. They had Ryan Williams, Jalen Miro. I believe Tim Keenan Jr. had spoke. They had other coaches. They had the president there. It was packed. A lot of festivities. I invite everybody to go. I was so unsure, but then when I went, I was like, wow, this is what Alabama's about, and just learning more about the traditions and especially getting ready. I forgot who, I think it was Missouri that was for the homecoming, if I'm not mistaken, Christian, last year. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a treat for sure.
I didn't even know what all went on. Cause like when we went to go speak, right, what you were talking about, it literally was like, we pull up, We literally walk up on the stage real quick right before we have to go out there. I think Coach Saban would say a few words, then we would have a chance to say a few words, and we literally be right back out of there. But it sounds cool. I didn't know really what else they do during the week or like when they do certain things. I just was curious because like me and Slade were saying the other day, he was talking about the stadium. Like when you're a student athlete, I mean, you miss out on so, I mean, there's so many things that I would have no clue about even though I was in school here, but I didn't get the chance to. So I'm always curious when these things come up and asking, you know, like y'all's opinion. But all right, so you did at least attend that. So that's cool. Is there a parade for homecoming or no? Am I making that up?
Maybe you know, I'm thinking about crazy. I was going to ask you or any of the callers can call in or maybe an app message because I was told about that, but I didn't see one.
I might be making that up, Chase. I might be completely making that up. Listen, I feel like there's some type of parade, but I don't know if it's homecoming. I definitely know there's national championship parades. If we need to win a national championship, Chase, now you have to experience, and I know we're taking a side quest here, but national championship parade was cool as hell, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the best things about winning a championship. I know I say that about everything. Oh, the ring's the best thing about it. Oh, the confetti ball is the best. Okay, I know. There's only so many things you can choose. But hear me out. The parade was so cool because it legit was a parade. And, like, we would walk from the complex all the way to the stadium. And as we're walking there, I mean, like, Chase, the streets are literally filled with people. Like, there's no space. Like, that's how many people show up to this. Like, I mean, like, literally from where we start, like when you're walking past the quad, people literally just littered throughout this, not the street, they're not in the street, you can't be in the street, but like on the sides of the street. And then we would have like little footballs and things to throw out. Like I have a bunch of videos and stuff. Like I used to be so sentimental, like, and I'm glad I was, because I have like videos, pictures, like I have in storage, I have a box of literally like a whole bunch of different gloves, towels, game programs, things that they used to give us, because I used to always be like, man, I'm going to keep this stuff so I can look back on it. I'm glad I did. But yeah, man, that parade was so cool. And then you get up to the stadium, we're sitting on the steps, and coach talks, the captain talks, and then like everybody fills in. Really cool stuff. Now, I know I'm we got a lot of ways to go. Hopefully that's the case, because I would love to attend another one, especially just as a fan in this case, because it's cool, man. And then hopefully you would be able to still be around here to see that when we do that, because it's fun, Chase. You got to check it out, man. Definitely one of the cool things. I'm sure all of our listeners have been, because with the amount of people that showed up, I mean, like, I'm sure there's people from out of town even coming. It was, man, it's crazy, but really cool stuff. That being said, let's hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll start talking a little bit about this game, this matchup, some prediction stuff. Final thoughts. We got plenty of time to do it, so we'll do that. I'm sure we'll hear from Reagan at the top of the hour. Got to make sure he's up to do that, and we'll hear from him, get his smoking hot picks. Want to get y'all's picks, 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. If you guys want to call in, you can always leave them in the comment section here on the stream, live on YouTube at The Miller's Edge, also on the Top 100.9 Facebook page as well. Plus, we might talk a little bit of basketball, Chase. I don't know if you caught the game last night, but it was a big one here in Tuscaloosa, number 2 Purdue, coming to Tuscaloosa this time. And unfortunately, didn't get the job done. Good game, though. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. But trust me, we will dive into basketball, especially once football really winds down. But hey, man, at the end of the day, man, you got to stick to your meat and potatoes, and that's football. We'll show love to basketball, don't worry, a little bit when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, time 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
When you order. So whatever the size of your appetite,
there's always something delicious waiting for you here at Taco Casa.
Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
credentials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact
04. That's 800-274-5104. What do you have to lose? Call 800-274-5104. Again, 800-274-5104.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I know we've got plenty of Alabama, Oklahoma to talk about. Maybe we'll throw on some tape here in a minute just to kind of take a look at during the timeouts. We'll definitely give our predictions at the end of the show on our end. I want to get y'all's throughout the show, but mine, I'll give it the end. But I'll give plenty of insight and final thoughts in this matchup over the next hour and 37 minutes or so. However, let's take a couple minutes, Chase, just to revisit the basketball game from last night. I don't want to completely skip over it, but I don't know how much you caught of it. Did you actually go to the game, Chase, by chance?
I did not. I was able to get some tickets, but then something kind of fell through, so I just sold them to somebody else that may have needed it. But I was able to watch it at home, though. So,
what'd you think about it, man? I mean, it's a big-time matchup, top 10 matchup here in Tuscaloosa on a Thursday. Number two, Purdue, again, team that we played last season, then this time them traveling to Tuscaloosa. Unfortunately, weren't able to get the job done, falling 87-80. I caught the first half of it, Chase, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't get to see the second half. What did you think of the game? How did you see how it went in your eyes?
Honestly, I think Bama just met one of the best teams in the country. You know, number two for Purdue, Braden Smith, the real deal. He was able to pickpocket a lot of what Alabama was doing defensively. A lot of running jumpers. He was able to find a lot of cutting men to the basket. It just led really in the second half. I think Bama just got a little tired, I would say. The defensive effort was a little sloppy. I think rebounding was the big issue. Nate Oates talked about that in his press conference last night. It just somehow ran out of gas, you know, offensive-wise. When LeBaron Filon did really well, and Holloway did really well. The forwards and the centers, they held up their own. It's just, you look at it from the standpoint, experience also played a factor. A lot of Purdue's roster are a bunch of upperclassmen, right? And it showed in the second half, and then obviously Braden Smith took over when it was needed best. And it's a learning experience for Bama. The season's not over. We literally just started. You know, I think they play Illinois next, which is another huge test. You know, they have a bunch of international players who've been playing really well. I've been watching them a little bit. So it's a test for Nate Oates and his squad, and they have a lot of potential. I feel like this is a very, very good team. Mind you, they do have injuries too, so that played into the factor as well. But if you're a Crimson Tide fan, I wouldn't be mad about the result. He played one of the top clubs in the country. Matt Pointer, the head coach of Purdue, is a mastermind on the basketball court. So there was a lot of adjustments that made that, you know, it's just something you got to learn from. But I think it was a good game overall, and you just got to move forward and learn from it and get ready for the next game. Because if you don't, you know, SEC competition is not that far away. And I would say it's one of the toughest conferences in the country right now. So, but yeah, I don't think it was that bad of a loss.
No, and a matter of fact, I mean, I feel like we're one of the teams that always tend to have one of the tougher schedules, right? I mean, we're talking about, like you just said, the season just started, and we had a win over number five St. John's in New York, right? And then we come back the following week, and we play a number two ranked Purdue at home. I mean, like, those those are two top five matchups back to back just to start the season. So this is what I saw. And again, I didn't see the second half, but from the first half, they dominated us on the glass. I remember even like the commentators making a, they kept repeating that comment, like of how badly we were getting dominated on the glass. And then it looked like, I feel like at least in the first half, seemed like we were shooting the ball really well from three. I think somebody in the comments said we got a little bit cold towards the end, but seemed like the threes were there, at least for majority of the game. But I agree, that guard, Smith, is it Braden Smith, is that his name?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he's good, man. But you're right, though. They did have a bunch of experience. I think they're noting that it's like at least like a core three guys at least, like that are all returning guys that are some of their key players. But, yeah, no, you're right. It's just interesting, and I was thinking this when I was watching the game. Like, I know we talk about transfer portal and how things are, you know, so wild in football especially, but in basketball, man, it's crazy. Your team, it almost feels like the NBA nowadays. Like, I feel like half the guys that we have playing for us, I don't even know if we actually even recruited or, like, where they came from. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in this every year. And I can only imagine. It's probably tough. I mean, like, it's good and bad, right? Like, it's good because nowadays it's easier than ever to develop a championship-caliber team, right? Like, you literally go in the portal. I mean, in basketball, it's a lot less, you know, there's a lot less players you're accounting for. But in terms of the bad part of it, I mean, talking about chemistry and getting guys to mesh, like, it's evident that even though you can definitely, you know, take advantage of that with the portal, these teams that do have, like Purdue, that has guys that are returning guys that have been there, there's continuity there, there's some seniority factors involved, they always still are going to be very solid teams because they have a solid foundation. But nonetheless, I just wanted to at least mention that because I know we're not diving a whole bunch into basketball right now. I promise we will dive more into it as things kind of progress and as football winds down. But had to at least discuss that again, top 10 matchup here in Tuscaloosa. Unfortunately, didn't get the win, but like Chase said, man, plenty of basketball to be played. I'm trying to see when the next home game is. I feel like it's not for a little while because I feel like we go out to Vegas. We'll be playing out there for at least a week or so. Looks like I'm looking at the schedule here. We got the ACC-SEC Challenge. That's the next home game here. We'll take on Clemson, and that will be December 3rd. So we're about three weeks or so away from the next home game here, but definitely plenty of basketball to watch between them. We got Gonzaga, UNLV, like you mentioned, Illinois. So definitely be looking out for that as well. Let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout now that we got – I hate saying like that, Chase. I shouldn't say that. Now that we got basketball out of the way. Nah, I shouldn't say like that. Now that we've talked about basketball, we can turn our focus back to some football. We're going to discuss this Alabama-Oklahoma game and more. Coming up, we should have Reagan of R&R Cigars join us for a Smoking Hot Picks. And don't forget to drop yours as well. If you get it right, you get a chance to win you a nice signed football and some other stuff that I have around here with the Miller's Edge on it. So make sure you guys do that. Quick time.
My Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday. Tide Edition, the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, also a Prediction Friday, because we plan on getting those predictions from you guys. We'll drop ours at the end of the show. And, of course, we got to put a little bit of a bow on everything that we've been discussing this week as we, I guess, lead into this game, which will take place tomorrow afternoon here in Tuscaloosa for homecoming. Looking at this matchup, let's just kind of put a review out there real quick, Chase. A little bit of a summary of kind of what we've been discussing, kind of the overall outlook on this game. You've got number 11 ranked Oklahoma coming to Tuscaloosa, a team that they're a two-loss team, but their playoff hopes are very much alive, and they need this game if they wanted to stay that way. If they lose this game, more than likely it's a very slim chance that they make the playoffs, but who knows? Never say never. That being said, I mean, these guys, they're going to come in confident. We heard from Rodney Anderson earlier in the week, former Oklahoma running back who also works their collective. He said it. I mean, right now, I mean, those guys are confident, as they probably should be, right? I mean, they beat us last year. Granted, it was at their place. Team last year's a lot different. We understand that. But still, it's not like, you know, when a team has beaten you before, especially the year prior, they're going to feel confident. And especially when you're talking about a situation like Alabama, right? I mean, typically it's one thing if it's like, oh, it's Alabama. If you haven't beat us, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we're confident. But do you really believe that? And two, I guess it's probably a little bit different now because I'm still kind of thinking back of like my years. That said, looking at this Oklahoma team, we talk about the defense so much. Why? Well, that's pretty much what has gotten them to this point. Offensively, not a bad unit by any means, but just not great, right, Chase? I think we could call them maybe good or close to good, but not great, right? John Mateer, you know, really good quarterback, has struggled since his injury, but this offense hadn't really had, you know, that running ability, right? Throwing the ball, they're just kind of, you know, a little inconsistent there. But really the defense is the story of this football team, right? A really good front, right? It's led by that front seven. Their defensive tackles are second to none. I mean, in the conference, I think they're probably the best defensive line, in my opinion, from, you know, across the board, right? From the interior guys, R. Mason Taylor on the outside. I think he's got 6.5 sacks on the year. I mean, these guys pretty much do everything well. Their linebackers are sideline to sideline guys. They run, they hit, right? They're not avoiding blocks, right? They're taking on blocks. They're shedding blocks. They're making tackles. So front seven wise, I mean, these guys are about as good as it gets. But there are going to be some opportunities, in my opinion, right? I've watched the Tennessee game, watching that Ole Miss game. I know a lot of people point those, and rightfully so. Yes, those offenses had success. And this is what I'll say, Chase. Do I think there'd be opportunities? For sure. But we've got to get to those opportunities. What does that mean? Well, everything starts up front. We got to protect, man. And I know everybody hyper focuses on, you know, Oklahoma's rushing defense, but you got to remember, I mean, these guys also are top five in the country at getting to the quarterback in terms of sacks per game, right? I mean, they pressure really well, right? They have a really good front seven, but they also bring a lot of blitzes and throw things at you. Like that is definitely a major key in this game. Last couple games, offensive line play has been shaky, but the interesting thing is pass pro has been okay. I'll be honest, Chase, some more, I would almost argue that the backs in protection have been a little bit more of a liability than, let's say, the offensive line. That being said, that's going to be huge, right? Keeping Ty clean, letting him actually have time to throw the football and giving us a shot on those explosively big. You know, if you really go back and watch the LSU game, I mean, we were just inches away several times from hitting some explosive plays. And if you hit those plays, I mean, one could argue that game looks a whole lot different and we're not necessarily being as critical as we've been on offense. However, I do feel like there is somewhat reason to be as critical as many people have been. One could almost argue, and I'm curious your thoughts, Chase, the offense, it kind of feels like the offense has regressed, right? And on the contrary, defense has been the opposite, right? Defense has been getting better and better, but it almost feels like offensively we've kind of regressed. If you go back, you know, to the earlier portion of the year, I mean, offense, I feel like we were firing on all cylinders outside of week one, and it seemed like our offense was, without a doubt, one of the best in the country. People just kept thinking, all right, well, you know, Jam's been banged up. We got injuries at running back. The running game will come along. Once that gets there, we'll definitely be one of the better offense in the country. But it almost seems like we've done the opposite, even with the guys coming back. Would you consider our offense to be regressing, Chase? Would you go as far as saying that?
I think it's so hard because I haven't seen anything crazy that's glaring where it's like, okay, if we don't fix this issue, we're going to be in a horrible spot. Because there are a lot of teams that are going through that right now. You know, like LSU, for example. Look at their whole offensive, like, scheme. They are regressed so badly. They had to put in Van Buren against Bama last week. You know, and Garrett Nussmeier was their top dog. Heck, he was favored to win the Heisman during the summer. But in terms of Bama, I think they're just kind of one correction away from really blowing this thing wide open in a positive light. And like you said, the backs and the offensive line, I feel like they can do a lot better. They've been holding up. You know, they've been doing just enough to protect Ty, give enough time for him to make the right reads, get explosive plays, and really get the offense going. But I think you'll really see that against Oklahoma. I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping a little bit with Oklahoma's defense. They've been good, don't get me wrong. But if you look at their past few games, they have been like terrors on defense, you know, really keeping offenses slowing them down per se, right? And with everything that's going on with Alabama's offense in terms of like the wide receivers, the running backs, the quarterback, I think they're in a good spot. It's just, where is it going to be? Where can we really get this aligned where now we're seeing the offense really kicking butt, where it's like no defense can stop them? Because I feel like they have the firepower to do that. It's just, it's like a flicker away, it's a play away, it's like a block away from, it's like they're finding their rhythm. It's now, it's like, okay, now we can see that championship pedigree that we're used to seeing at Bama. Like, you know, but they're doing great, don't get me wrong. This is where Bama wants to be. I don't think anybody wants to see them, you know, where Auburn is, where LSU is at, Florida. They're 11-1. That is huge. So now it's just, what can they improve? And like you said, the offensive line and the backs is just, they can get that going. I think Bama is really in a really good position.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. You know what I mean? It depends on how you, I guess you define the word regress, right? In my opinion, I would consider where we're at right now offensively over the last two games, where we were the 4 weeks prior, I would probably say that qualifies as regression. I don't want people to flip out and be like, oh man, listen, that's just me being honest from what I've seen with my eyes. That said, I don't think we're far off from putting it back together, right? Like, again, I mentioned the LSU game, right? You miss on a few shots, and that if you make those, right, if we connect downfield on some of those passes, those end up being explosive plays, and those probably change how that game goes against LSU, even against South Carolina. I mean, like that, I think it was a third and long or a fourth down situation, that one where Ryan Williams was open. He ended up dropping the ball. It looked like he kind of misstepped or something like that, and it ended up being a drop. I mean, he's open. Bernard on that over route, I think it was either like a dig or an over, and it was like right on his fingertips, you know, a little bit off on the accuracy, but still just right there. Those plays, in my opinion, would be big, I guess, changes, right, in those games. That said, I feel like we're not far off from getting back to that. And if Ty can find a way to kind of get back in that groove, right, because I think that's one of the things that I've noticed as of recent. You know, before the last 2 weeks, Ty was like pinpoint accurate to the point where you weren't worried about those misses every now and then. And this was crazy, Chase. The average quarterback is going to have those misses like Ty has had over the last 2 weeks. But because he was so accurate the 4 or 5 weeks prior, that's why I think it stands out so much more, because he was hitting those. And right now, it seems like he hasn't been as 100%. He still has like some NFL throws. Or don't get me wrong, I'm not saying let's just say if he was like 90% accurate over the last 4 weeks, before the last 2 weeks, right now, he might be like 60, 65, which is still dang good. You get what I'm saying? And I'm just making those numbers up. I'm not talking about his actual completion rate. That said, I think our offense isn't too far off. Now, the whole running game issue, that's another thing in itself. However, to your point, and I agree with you here, is our lack of running game as detrimental as it is for other teams? No, not quite, because Ryan Grubb has found a way to establish the extension of the running games. in a way that they're productive for us that compensate for that, right? With the and I keep hearing myself say right now that my dad said that, but I feel like I'm like kind of subtly thrown in there. Anyway, whether it's screen game, end arounds, jet sweeps, finding ways to get our guys up the ball, especially on the perimeter, that's definitely been big for us, which leads me to this point where we hit this break. Offensively, I think that is something we'll see in this game, Chase. You're not probably going to expect, if you haven't been running the ball great through the between the tackles, I don't think this is the week where you just say magically we're going to go run, you know, duo power counter, you know, inside zone, and just expect to just magically have success between the tackles on the ground. No, not with these guys that they have on their front, the defensive line. However, I do feel like, and you saw this a little bit about it out of Ole Miss and even, you know, Tennessee, working the perimeter, that's probably going to be your sweet spot. And so I would not be shocked if, for the folks wanting to see the running game pick up, I don't think you should be expecting to see a whole bunch of between the tackle, you know, run. I think you still try to at times just to keep them honest. But I think we're really going to have to attack the perimeter with things like the jet sweeps, you know, screen game, even those pin and pull type plays, just little things trying to get on the perimeter. Because I think that's probably, if you're trying to find a point of weakness for that Oklahoma defense up front, that's probably where you're going to find it. So I would not be shocked if we end up attacking the perimeter a whole bunch in this game, given the situation with us offensively, then their strengths defensively. And then real quick, while we're on the point of emphasis on offense, like you guys mentioned, taking some shots down the field, I definitely think you got to do that. You just have to get to that, like I mentioned. Keeping Ty clean will be huge in this game. Brent Venables, I promise you guys, will dial up all type of pressure. And they've been watching plenty of tape, right? Whether it was LSU, whether it was Missouri, South Carolina, the teams that gave us the most problems defensively, right, always had success bringing heat. They were aggressive. You got to, right? The thing for us is we got to keep Ty clean. And when they do choose to be aggressive, that opens up opportunities on the back end. We got to capitalize. So all those little missed opportunities that we just were discussing, we got to find a way to take advantage of those. Because when they are aggressive, you got to hit them. You got to pick it up and you got to hit them. And if you can do that, I do think you could end up seeing us having a lot more success offensively than some might necessarily expect, given the quality of their defense. All right, let's hit a timeout and stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep breaking it down. 205-342-9904 is the number. I'm not sure if we have any calls right now because I haven't seen them watching this tape while I'm talking. But if you guys want to get in on the conversation, leave your predictions. You can do that on the phone lines or through at message or in the chat right here on YouTube as well. You listen to the Miller's Edge. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9000.
Thank you to all of our wonderful customers. If you need us, call or text 205-553-0958.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Where you pick it out, and we'll work it out.
Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. ED Liquor details expires month end.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 73. Clear tonight with the low at 44. Tomorrow is sunny day, the high 75. Sunday and Monday, partly sunny both days, highs between 71 and 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
For all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've been talking plenty about the defense. We can go back and talk a little bit more about Oklahoma's offense. John Mechie, their quarterback, you know that we talked about him, has that dual threat ability. Yes, I understand he's not Reed from A&M or even whoever, right? I mean, I know he's not a burner, but anytime you got a guy that has that capability, you got to take it into consideration. You got to take them into account because quarterback design run, I mean, that's a plus one run, right? That changes a lot of stuff for you defensively. So that's one thing. They pretty much operate out of blue personnel, 11 personnel, as we like to call it, one back, tight end, out of the gun. You see a lot of, you know, motion stuff, pre-snap, jets, orbits type deal, getting to either, you know, end around work. They'll work the screen game, right? Quick game a lot. All that good stuff, right? A lot of stuff you see in college football nowadays, but that's typically how they are. So that being said, the biggest thing for me, for them is, we already talked about it, but just to reiterate, containing John Mateer, right? That'll be big. Last year's game was Circus trying to stop Jackson Arnold with the quarterback run game against Oklahoma. So best believe they'll try to implement that. If you look at our numbers throughout the year, I think when we've played dual threat quarterbacks, they've all rushed for at least 60 yards or so, whether that was Pavia, Castellanos, who are the other ones? Lenore Sellers. And I feel like there's like one more I'm drawing a blank on. But that being said, then that's before the sack yardage is taken into account. So that'll be big in this game. Them as a passing team, man, I mean, you see a lot of quick game sticks out. I mean, like, really just trying to get the ball out quick, their playmakers, let them make plays. Since Mateer's injury, I mean, he's a little all over the place at times. Accuracy hadn't really been as strong as it was before, especially, and I know Texas, I think, was his first game back, but I remember watching that game, and I was like, man, I don't know how ready he is. I will say, though, that I mean, you still got to respect it. He's a good quarterback. He can make the throws. It's just he's not as accurate as he maybe was before the injury. Offensive line-wise, they're an interesting group. I know Ronnie mentioned that they had, you know, some injuries, but they've rotated guys. They've been, I probably would say, average at best. They struggle to run the football. I'm not sure about protection-wise in terms of the numbers, but I think they're definitely, at least from what I've seen on tape, we should have some opportunities to get after the quarterback as well. But when I look at their offense, I mean, stopping, you know, John Mateer first and foremost would be huge. And then really just making sure we got a bunch of guys running to the football. If you look at it, again, a quick game, that's pretty much what it boils down to, right? Guys turning, getting out of the stack, making sure we're being that swarm defense, which, Chase, now I think about it, bro. But we haven't really heard people use that term as much lately. Is it just me or, like, I feel like, have you heard the word swarm defense recently? Like, from anybody? Coaches, players? No? Maybe not. Maybe it's just me thinking that. Though Chase might have ran to the bathroom real quick. But yeah, I feel like we haven't heard that term, but it's definitely got to come up in this game. We got to be swarming to the football. When you talk about screen game, quick game, all that stuff, man, that's the importance of it. Jake in the chat says, any more on Russo? No, I think it's just questionable. I think we'll see. To me, in my head, when you hear questionable, it is literally what it is, but questionable to me is like they'll have probably end up playing one way or another. Just not too sure in what capacity. I mean, a guy like Russo, you don't want to rush him back. But here's my thing. And I remember that clip y'all had sent with the Brooks Austin from the film guy, right? This is my thing. When he made the comments about Quay, about how, like, oh, you know, toss him, you don't need him anymore, Quay Russo, that dude, he was tripping on that. Now, I know at the end he finally said, unless it's like a third down package, but the way he kind of just dismissed that, to me, I mean, like, bro, you're tripping. And to be fair, I mean, I think he mentioned he might have played offensive line, so maybe he's not as familiar with the defense side of the ball, but he's tripping on that. Best believe having Quay back only is going to make things better, and I'm probably only going to make Yonza even better. When you have one guy that's starting to take over as a pass rusher, he's going to start demanding more attention, which naturally that's going to make his job a little bit tougher, right? Because they're going to start saying, before, they might have, no offense, probably didn't really respect him as much and probably didn't put so much emphasis on 42 earlier in the year just because he hadn't really proven to be that guy. Now, you're talking about what he's done. Best believe he's going to get more attention, whether that's putting the back on his side and staying there to offer a little bit of a chip before releasing. Put in tight ends, just like we do when we play good edge rushers, having that edge presence. Best believe 42 is going to start to see that. How do you counter that? Having another good edge guy on the other side. And right now, we don't have that. And I know you guys probably like LT Overton. Like, you have LT, but LT, I would argue, I mean, a lot of his best rushes come out of a three technique. He's a tweener, right? He's back and forth. My biggest thing is, for someone to make it seem like now that Yonze's come along, you don't need Quay Russo, that's crazy. And that's what that guy was saying, and I fully disagree with that. Because not only in third down situations, it's going to be huge having two threats off the edge, but also even on first and second down situations, right? You want fresh bodies on third down. Right now, behind Yonze, number one, Yonze had to pick up the full three down responsibility at the wolf spot once Quay got hurt. The only guy behind him initially was Justin, the true freshman, who actually is he's physical and he's done a damn good job when he's been in there on early downs. But why do you think they put him in there on early downs? So you could have a fresh Yonze Pierre on third down. So what happens when Quay comes back? Not only do you have the extra threat on the other side of the on the line of scrimmage, but also now you can rotate those guys back and have healthy bodies at edge. And I know, yes, you had Justin as a true freshman. He's done a good job. However, he's still a young player. I would argue, I think anybody would agree with this, you'd much rather have a veteran Quay Russo knowing what he's capable of first, second down, especially, you know, being an edge setter, even, you know, on situations, whether it's pass on second down, true. You know what I mean? Like, he also will make a big difference, right? So anyway, I don't know why I just thought about that, but I just that comment, I was like, man, nah, he's tripping on that one, making it seem like you don't need him. Nah. Don't listen to that. That's cap. Because having him back will be big. That said, I don't think he necessarily plays this weekend, but I think he's going to be ready if they feel like he could provide some help. But if not, I mean, I think we probably wait. But we'll have to see. I mean, we've been okay without him, so I wouldn't rush it by any means. All right, let's hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars for his smoking hot picks. And we'll roll from there right here on this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The New England Patriots have won 8 in a row after taking down the Jets 27-14. Drake May led the way, completing 25 of 34 passes for 281 yards and a touchdown that went to Travion Henderson, who also had two touchdowns on the ground. Justin Fields completed 15 of 26 passes for 116 yards and a touchdown. He also had 11 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown.
Not good enough. You know, we lost the game, so it wasn't good enough. Every time we lose, my performance isn't good enough.
New England improves to 9-2. New York falls to 2-8. In the NBA, the Raptors outscored the Cavaliers 126-113. Scotty Barnes had 28 points, 10 rebounds. The Hawks topped the Jazz 132-122, where Jalen Johnson had 31 points.
New floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're now joined by our good friend Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars, who joins us on Friday's top of the hour to get his smoking hot picks, especially for all you guys that they do a little betting here and there. Hopefully, we help you guys out a little bit. But again, do not take anything I say as betting advice, because I am no expert by any means. That said, Reagan, welcome in, man. How's everything going? Give us an update on the food drive, man. We've been talking about it here, but I want to see how everything's going with that.
It's going great. We're having we've had a lot of people bring in a lot of really good stuff. Good to see so many people just bring in, basically trunk fulls of food. Dr. Karen Jackson's coming, I think next week to get the first delivery.
Nice.
So yeah, it's been going well. I appreciate it. All the people that have, contributed to it. And, it's just good to see people, helping out.
Absolutely. No, a lot of people I forgot to tell you in the comment section last week when you were on here, we talked about it. A lot of people were saying thank you so much for doing that, Reagan. Great that people are responding and dropping food off. Again, anybody listening, if you're interested in helping out, Reagan's doing a food drive at R&R Cigars alongside is it Tuscaloosa Emergency. What's the name of the other group? I forgot.
Tuscaloosa Emergency Services.
That's right, Tuscaloosa Emergency Services. He's paired up with them, and they're doing a food drive. A lot of folks having a hard time around this time of year right now for a number of reasons and struggling to get some food, right? And so if you want to help out for a good cause, Reagan's organized that with Tuscaloosa Emergency Services. All you got to do is just go drop off the food, canned goods, non-perishable stuff, preferably to R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. And he's also paying you back by giving you the ability to get 50% off of one cigar. So if you guys are interested, make sure you guys help them out with that mission to feed as many families. The goal is 5,000, and love everything he's doing over there. So shout out to Reagan and R&R Cigars for taking that initiative alongside Tuscaloosa Emergency as well. Hey, Reagan, let's talk some football, man. Some good games this weekend. I want to start here. We got a top 10 matchup. Texas taking on Georgia. Now, a lot of people have eyes on Texas because they're kind of hitting their groove right now. And if they win out, they're going to put themselves in a nice position moving forward, but they really have no choice. And it starts this weekend with Georgia. They also have to play Texas A&M, another top five team. But looking at this game, Reagan, in Georgia, I mean, they're no slouch by any means. I mean, they've had a couple close games for sure. Tennessee, Ole Miss, they lost to Alabama, but I feel like they're tried and tested. I mean, what do you think about this game with Texas? Do you think they have enough to get it done?
Yeah, this is looking at the beginning of the season. You're like, everybody would have been convinced that this is probably like a battle for like Arch Manning's Heisman. And boy, they would have been so wrong. It's been wild to see that. I don't really know where I feel like I'm going on this one. It's just because it's like I know Texas has won some games, but like who've they beaten? I feel like Texas has lost to every team that they were supposed to lose to, and I feel like Georgia's beaten every team they were supposed to beat. So it's basically, to me, this just comes up as a chalk game, Georgia's at home. They play really good at home, except for when they played versus Alabama. So I'm going to go with Georgia in this one.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Georgia as well, but I think it is, going to be much more interesting game than I probably would have thought it would have been, I guess, a month ago or whenever it was when Texas just kind of was, I don't know, they're kind of in an interesting spot, but we'll see. But I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Georgia by a slight margin in this game. You got another matchup that's not necessarily a huge one, but I feel like it could be kind of interesting. I mean, you got South Carolina taking on Texas A&M, and the reason it catches my attention is, you know, South Carolina's got a good defense, but so does A&M, which I'd probably argue that A&M's probably offensively, that's they're going to get the better of that one because South Carolina just struggles offensively. But two good defenses going at it, Reagan. Trying to see what the points were in this game. I think I lost it, but what are your thoughts on that one overall?
Let's see. Hold on. Let me look. I do want to know the line on this one because that makes a difference for me.
Yeah, I was about to say that's probably the biggest thing. Obviously, I think we're both going to lose.
So Texas A&M 17.5. They're at home. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's.
I mean, I know your dad's. I know your dad's going to get on here and say, "Oh man, you know, South Carolina, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if Beamer comes out there and they beat them, you know, and Lenora Sellers is the best quarterback in the SEC type, you know." I can hear him. I can hear him sermonizing right now, right? You know, South Carolina, another team that never, look, man, I no disrespect to Frank Beamer, but Frank Beamer was the original James Franklin. People forget. Frank Beamer, I think, was like 1-27 versus top 5 teams when he was at Virginia Tech. It was some outrageous statistic where you're like, wow, that's like really bad. And then you're like, oh, hello, James Franklin. And I haven't seen anything like that from, I mean, like, what is Shane Beamer's signature win? I don't think it's versus number 3 Texas A&M on the road in November of 2025. I mean, look, South Carolina does have one of the best defensive lines that Alabama's faced so far, but they just can't score points. So I'm going to go A&M minus 17. Sorry,
Corey. Yeah, no, that's a lot of points, but we'll see, man. I'm definitely going to be watching that one. It'd be interesting. All right, the big one. We got Oklahoma coming to Tuscaloosa. It's a revenge game. We know I went last year. The spread on this one, Reagan, is 6 right now. This one's interesting to me. You got a really good defense in Oklahoma, an offense in Alabama that's been a little sluggish the last 2 games, right? It hadn't had the same rhythm that we saw the 4 or 5 weeks prior. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. And I would argue that Oklahoma's offense, who really has been average this season, last couple of games has found a little bit of something. That Tennessee game, I mean, running game got going a little bit more. They got a young running back. They've been playing a little bit more. How do you see this one going, Ray? Again, 6-point spread, Oklahoma coming to Tuscaloosa tomorrow, 2:30 kick.
Well, it's the offense has certainly been one of the offenses the past few weeks. I was really surprised at how little they scored versus LSU, but I guess I shouldn't have been because LSU's defense is apparently really good, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about. Like, they hadn't given up more than like 24 points, or like one of two teams that haven't given up more than 24 points, and then they're 2 of 2 teams that haven't given up more than 24 points and had to fire their head coach. So, maybe, I don't know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, we want to have a great defense, but I only want a great defense if you can win football games. And we've been winning football games with great defense. So it is a weird one because, you know, Oklahoma looked so bad versus Texas, and then they looked like, I still don't understand how they won that game versus Tennessee, because I was like, there's no way that they're going to win this game, and sure enough, they won. But I think I think Oklahoma's going to score points this week. I think it's a big test for our defense again. I'm kind of getting tired of being tested on defense. Just It'll be nice to play like the Cupcake School and then Auburn, you know, because we've been playing some crazy teams for a while. So,
well, you're a week removed from that. I mean, you got one more week and then you do get that.
Yeah.
You get Eastern Illinois coming here, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
They can use a break.
Yeah. I mean, well, we did just have a bye not long ago, but you're right. We got tough games, but look, that's part of being here at Alabama. That's part of playing the SEC. I'll be honest. I enjoy it just because I enjoy good football. You know, I know our fans definitely want us to just steamroll everybody, but and that's tough to do when you're in a conference with so many good teams now. But I hear what you're saying. Did you say what you're going to take on the points? I'm sorry, I might have missed it.
All that to say is Alabama's playing at home. Kalen DeBoer's talked about the home environment that we have here. He's talked about how much the team feeds off the energy in Bryant Denny. I think the defense especially. And I think Alabama's going to cover the 6 and get the win.
When you say cover, tell me in what fashion. The reason I ask is, I mean, we've got not many.
Yeah, Alabama wins by 6. Alabama wins by 6 or more.
No, I get that part. I'm saying elaborate on, do you think it's like, okay, by a touchdown we cover? Or because the reason I ask is we've got one or two in the chat that think Oklahoma's defense is being upsold here and that they easily see us winning by a couple scores, like double-digit points. I personally don't see that. I'm just asking since you picked the point.
Yeah, I want to. I really want to. I think my issue with that is, how many times has Alabama scored more than 30 points this season? And it's, you know, in the SEC, not versus, you know, out of the conference. But, I mean, 24 versus Georgia, 30 versus Vanderbilt, 27 versus Missouri, 37 versus Tennessee. That was great. 29 versus South Carolina, 20 versus LSU. I want to say that they win by 2 scores, but I think for them to win by 2 scores, they'd have to score like 34. So I put this one around like a 24-14 type game. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe like a 1 score type deal too. I just was curious because, like I said, there's a couple of people that felt really confident. I'm like, huh? I wonder what Reagan thinks of that. Reagan, for
yeah, but I,
real quick,
yeah. Oh,
go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's like it really just depends, right? Yep. Like playmakers on offense are going to have to step up. You know, Ryan Williams is going to have to catch the ball. Ty's going to have to make throws that when he has players open and they need to be able to run the ball, you know, the inability to run the ball is clearly hampering this offense. So I don't know what offensive line configuration they've got to do. And maybe they need to play some other guys that haven't played on the offensive line.
Guys, Reagan, you know, you're advocating for
I'm just saying. I'm not saying put in Graham Roten, but like, I mean, I saw that one kid played. It's like, man, I don't know how much worse Graham Roten would have been. You know, but I'm exaggerating, but I mean, it's just, you know, running the football, it's just, I know it's hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it, but you know, it's been a struggle all week long. I think to have a successful run in the playoff, they're going to have to be able to run the football, unless they're just going to go straight air raid. Which personally I love the air raid offense. I think Ty can run it, and I think we have the receivers to run it and just abandon the run game. I think they could absolutely do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, maybe it's just a selfish part of me that just is, I'm holding on to, Alabama was built on that physicality, especially in the running game. Maybe it's, I don't know. Part of it's also, I just know you, those air raid offenses, man, while they put up points, at some point, man, like when they beat a team, though, that starts taking away a lot of that stuff on the back end, they don't really have other answers. And it's, I don't know, man. You just look at it historically, teams that win national championships or championships in general, like they always have the ability to run the football one way or another.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, that's my thing. Those air raid offense, they look fancy. It's cute when you're going over the top. Cool. Even like hell, when Lane came in, we naturally started evolving into a little bit, I wouldn't call it an air raid, so to speak, but we really started pressing the football down the field through the air a lot more. We still, at the end of the day, were able to run the football, at least try to, because you got to be able to have balance. So, but I hear what you're saying. You're saying at this point, maybe just lean into that. But the problem is we've been trying to, and this is what happens. You're not always going to be 100% accurate throwing the football. We've seen it last couple of weeks, and that's a big part of why we're struggling. So hopefully we figure something out, whether it's the accuracy gets a little bit cleaned up and the running game gets a little bit going. Who knows? I don't expect
a lot of drops, too.
What's that?
A lot of drops, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's if we clean that part up, I think it'll go back to maybe the lack of running game not being as detrimental. But I don't know. One or the other has to happen. Hopefully both, but at least one. Ray, before we let you go, again, remind everybody that wants to contribute and help you out with the food drive, how they can do that and what you guys are accepting or what you're hoping to get.
So you can drop off food at any time. We're open from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And we're looking for dry goods, canned goods, pasta, rice, canned vegetables, canned fruits, pasta, beans, stuff like that you can, stretch out into multiple meals, things that are, shelf stable and, have a good shelf life. We're just trying to feed hopefully as many people as we can by Thanksgiving. So we appreciate you guys that have come and donated, and hopefully some of the people listening will come donate as well.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff. Reagan, we appreciate you as always, and we'll keep sending them folks on over to help you guys out with that.
Appreciate you. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Good deal. That is Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. Don't forget, you always can use that code Miller's Edge as well on their website, rnrcigars.com. Plus, if you're looking for a place to watch the game this weekend or any weekend, or basketball or baseball, any time of the year, check out R&R Cigars at the Mansion, 2703 Gary Finch Street. TVs, plenty of sticks, and the humidor, best one in the Southeast, and over 160 bourbons as well to pair up with your stogie. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling, getting those predictions and talking Alabama, Oklahoma right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Paver patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 73. Clear tonight with the low at 44. Tomorrow is sunny day, the high 75. Sunday and Monday, partly sunny both days. Highs between 71 and 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Goodfeet Store, America's arch support experts. We don't have much time here, so I'm going to be quick. Here's the thing, Chase. This is what I'm learning, right? So obviously, I've been doing radio for, I think it's going on like 3 years now, man. This is what I've learned, though, about it's crazy. Like, as a player, you don't, like, you don't really see or pay attention to hardly any of this stuff. Only time I really would see stuff would be like when I got that penalty against Louisville and Coach Saban was chewing me out. I literally responded to a guy like basically like trying to, you know, tackle me after the whistle. And all I did was just I reversed it on him. I, you know, threw him off of me. Anyway, got a penalty. Yeah, y'all saw that clip. Now people are all in my mentions like talking about like the worst player ever or whatever, because they just saw Coach Saban chewing me out. Other than that, like, I'll be honest, I never really saw, like, all these different, like, parts of, like, our fan base and all these people and whatnot, but I'm, like, learning more and more, especially going on, you know, with year three of doing radio and stuff, and it's just interesting. Like, one thing I've learned and noticed about, and I'm sure it's probably every fan base, but definitely ours, because I cover us probably 85% of the time, is that you have like two groups, right? You've got one group where they want an objective view, right? They want to listen to me because I played the game, right? I played it here. I was a team captain here, won championships here, played in the league, all that good stuff, whatever. They want me just to break it down. Good, bad, ugly, don't matter. They want the truth. They just want a football perspective, which I think that's how it should be, right? Because who doesn't want the truth? And that's the whole point of getting information. Then you got like the other group of it is like people, because they're such big fans, they only want to hear what they want to hear. And if it doesn't sound like that, like if it doesn't, even like if it's a little bit off what they want to hear, they get mad or frustrated. Or they think you're a hater or you're not a real Bama fan or whatever. And I always tell people respectfully, I'm not a fan. I'm a former player. It's a little bit of a difference, and I'm analyzing that. But anyway, it's just interesting when you learn that, because I'm like, It's like two totally different groups, man. Totally different groups. But anyway, I always tell people, and I mean this respectfully, if you're on the side of like you just want to hear somebody like pump everything into positivity, right? Meaning like I'm not supposed to give Oklahoma's defense credit. I'm not supposed to talk about, you know, our drops on offense or our inability to run the football. This is probably in the show for you. Because we just break down football. You know what I mean? Like, what we say here is no different than what the coaches say in the press conference. I mean, it's no different. Now, I definitely try doing it in a positive. I always try to spin it positive. That's just my take, right? Kind of like how Coach Saban is. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, our running game is trash. I would not use that verb. No. But if it's a problem, if it's something that we need to talk about, I'm going to talk about it. Anyway, we only had like 30 seconds or a minute right here, so I just wanted to do that. Reiterate, because I just find myself sometimes noticing, I'm like, going back and forth with people at times, and I realize, I'm like, this is kind of a waste of time, man. We're just breaking down football, man. I'm sorry if it's not everything people want to hear, because, yeah, that's not how analyzing a sports game, team, whatever should be. But anyway, that said, let's hit the timeout, stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling, and we'll get back to predictions and all that stuff. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. All right, let me get off my little rant real quick. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in. Tommy, you there? Going once, twice. I guess Tommy had to drop. All right, no worries. Tom, if you want to circle back, man, feel free to do it. Sorry about that. I think he had called like right before we got Reagan on here. So that's on me. I should have made note of that for sure. That being said, all right, so we've talked about, where are we at with this whole thing, Chase? We've talked about Oklahoma's defense plenty. I don't want to do that too much. I know we talked about the offense. I don't know. Who knows? Trying to think, did we finish? Where did we leave off? I feel like we were in the middle of talking about something before we went on with Reagan, man. I know I switched over to the Oklahoma defensive tape, but at this point, I feel like I can't even talk about the Oklahoma defense anymore because we got people getting all upset that we're giving them too much credit. Like, bro, you can't make this crap up, bro. People are funny. All right, Chase, let me ask you this, man. We'll put you back on the spot. Have you watched a bunch of Oklahoma or a little bit of Oklahoma? I ain't even asked you your thoughts on it. I don't know how much you have, though. So, I mean, if you haven't, you can be honest. No big deal. I'm just curious.
No, I actually have. I've watched a little bit of John Mateer before he got to Oklahoma. And he was pretty good, you know, especially at Washington State. And I think he was the right fit for Oklahoma's system. And then, honestly, Oklahoma caught my eye last year when they beat Bama because that was such out of the blue. And I was like, what is this team about? You know, Venable, he was at Clemson at one point. You know, can I learn more about Oklahoma's program? You know, how they ran, stuff like that. So I've been watching them very closely, and they've caught in their eye. I think they were on a roll. They're really going to go high. But then when Mateer had his injury, I think that's when they caught, you know, that like wall. They haven't been able to find their rhythm offensively or defensively, I would argue. That's why I feel like, and it's still, you know, you learn more about sports media and fans and stuff every day, but it just, it really scratches my head why people question, you know, people who talk about their defense and how it could be an issue. Like, we can't be blind to that. Look at all these offenses they faced this year. Yeah, have they won every game? No. But they've caused problems that has legitimately had coaches scratching their head or trying to change their schemes, and especially at halftime. You know, like, look at Ole Miss. They're such a high-powered offense, and they had Lane Kiffin trying to pull stuff out of you-know-what, trying to finish the game. So I feel your gripe is because we can't be naive and think just because we're so happy about where the offense is at, we can't talk about the defense now, because it's not fair. Because then we're going to be scratching our head on Mondays like, well, how did this happen? Why did we overlook this? And how could we do this? And I'm like, we've got to highlight all the areas of what Oklahoma can bring the table, and they're a legitimate team. You know, they're on the hunt of trying to do what they're trying to do, and you know, they look at Alabama like, you're in the way. So you can't just ignore, especially their defense and how good they've been historically.
100%, and I think you said it perfect, right? I mean, like, it's all about analyzing the good and the bad, right? And then maybe so-so. But that's the whole point of it. That's why I just get so confused. I mean, like, but again, I that's why I made the comment about, like, the different pockets of people. Like, you got some people that all they want to hear is how perfect Alabama is, and they want to hear every reason why Bama will win, which we get to that part too. But we, at least for me, this is how I like to analyze. We talk about both factors here, right? Like, yes, we're covering Alabama. We're going to try to list the things that Bama does well and what will give them success, which we get to. That's why I always say the keys for Alabama to win. But before we get to the keys, you have to go watch the tape, which I do and we're actively doing right now. And you have to study and analyze their personnel, you know, what they like to do, some of their tendencies. We're going over all that. So if they have something positive, we're going to speak positive about it. We're not going to sit there and go, well, they have a good defense, but, like, to me, like, when you start acting like that, like, that's like, again, that's like Homer-based content and stuff like that. I don't want to take that direction. I love Alabama through and through, but I don't want to sit there and everything I say is just, oh, I'm trying to just sound like a Homer. Just No. That takes away from my credibility, right? I mean, like, that's the whole point of it. But yeah, no, and then I think it's evident, just this Oklahoma defense, they're a solid unit. And literally what's funny was right even before that comment even came up, Chase, literally I just was saying, I was pointing out a fact, we saw Tennessee run like a tunnel screen. And I just was pointing out, this is why I think Oklahoma might be a little vulnerable on the perimeter, right? Because I said that earlier in the show, Oklahoma's defense, really strong between the tackles, really good front seven. But at times, they're a little lighter on the perimeter. You see them with these three deep safety looks, right? They're going to try to, and knowing Ty, he takes a, you know, he picks apart the middle of the field, does a good job hitting hole shots. I mean, they're going to probably, if I had to guess, show some different looks and similar looks like they showed against Tennessee, trying to take away some of those deep throws and forcing things to be more shallow. Now, that's why I was saying, I think, Alabama could have a lot of success on the short, you know, passing game, quick passing game, perimeter game, those types of things. So, yeah, we're looking at everything here across the board, not just one thing. All right, we got one more segment to go. When we come back, we'll give you guys our predictions with Chase's prediction. I'll give you mine, and if you guys want to get y'all's in before we wrap things up, make sure you guys do that again. If you get it right, we haven't had anybody get it right. I know I said this about, what did I say about Missouri maybe, but I feel like the predictions we're getting, they're all within like one score this week. And I feel like that's probably about where it's probably going to be. And something tells me we might have a winner this week, but we'll have to see. If you do, you get you a signed football and some other stuff. We'll ship out to you. We'll get it to you as the winner. So make sure you guys do that before we get out of here, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
By Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 73. Clear tonight with the low at 44. Tomorrow a sunny day, the high 75. Sunday and Monday, partly sunny both days. Highs between 71 and 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. This dude done killed my whole vibe, bro. I'm about ready to get out of here early at this note, man. It's been a long week already. We got people just whatever. It is what it is. But we got a few minutes, so can't bounce just yet. We got to give our predictions. We'll do that here in a minute, and then we will end up rolling. But that being said, I guess we can just go ahead and jump into it. I do think this ends up being a close game, right? I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. I think this will probably be our, you know, one of the biggest tests we have. But I say that, and then it's crazy. You know, Auburn ends up firing Brian Kelly. And, man, they look like a whole different team after that. And you know how it is when you go on the road and play Auburn. But let me be careful giving them too much credit because people are going to complain about that. That said, I think it's going to be a good matchup, right? You got a really good defense with Brent Venables in control of it. Obviously, that's a big deal. Sorry, I think somebody.
I don't know what's going on here.
Sorry, it looked like somebody was at my house for a second. Anyway, that being said, you got a really good defense in Oklahoma. You got an offense that we've had some issues as of late. Can we get those corrected? We'll have to see. I think it'll be biggest thing for me for our offense, man. Try to work the perimeter. Offensive line has to be, you know, strong in our pass pro. I think we've been doing a really good job of that actually as of late. But running the football, we got to get back to that at some point. I don't necessarily see that being the case this game, but I do think there'll be ways to manipulate it in different ways, like I mentioned earlier, hitting the perimeter to try to help us do that. That way we're not one-dimensional, because if you go back and watch the tape, Oklahoma, they do a lot of different things on the back end, trying to take away some of those deeper shots, right? Which we've been good at. We just have to get our accuracy back to where it was before the last couple of weeks. Other side of the football, defensively, man, we talked about John Mateer, his ability to run. Got to contain him last year. You saw how Oklahoma was able to run all over the place on the ground with their quarterback. Can't let that happen again. Different quarterbacks understand that, but that is something that could give them some life, whether it's third down situation, scrambling. It's going to be important, right? Anytime you face a quarterback with that ability, you got to make sure that you contain that guy, right? Because that is, to me, in my opinion, the way I see it, I very much think we win this football game. I do feel that could it be a little bit more difficult if it's one of those things where they're able to, you know, control the ball, move the football down the field, time of possession, you know what I mean? Play good defense. stuff like that, that I think that definitely could make it a challenge, 100%, which I think is going to be a challenge in itself already. But that's why I think some of those things are important. But defensively also, forcing turnovers, being strong in the red area like we've been this majority of this season, I think those will be big. And I think that'll definitely come up in this game because, again, I mean, good defense, you expect your offense to probably have some struggles here and there. But the main thing is always get the ball back for your offense. Give them as many opportunities as possible. I'm going with the score of, damn, I didn't even really get this far, man. I've been sidetracked doing a million different things. I'll just throw something out. I'll go 20, let's see, 7-14, 21. I'll give us three touchdowns and a field goal. I'll give us 24-17. I'm going 24-17. That's going to be my score prediction. Chase, what you got?
I'll go 27-13.
So you're going two scores, Chase. You might have the biggest gap, bro. I'm trying to think. Let's see. You said,
I think Bama will respond to what Oklahoma can bring to the table.
Fair. Yeah. Somebody said nobody's giving Oklahoma more than 17. Well, here's the thing, man. Our defense has been really good in the red zone. We forced turnovers. I think John Mateer definitely is, I wouldn't say necessarily prone, but I mean, he's definitely good for a turnover. So, you know what I mean? Like some of the things that he does when the ball's in his hand. So that's why I'm going with 17. And our defense has been really solid, man. I mean, we've held a lot of these teams to lower scores. And I don't think, while their offense has been a little bit better as of late, I just personally just don't see them score more than 17 on us. But never say never. But all right, that'll do it for us here on this Free For All Friday edition. We got Wyatt coming up next right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. This has been the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. We'll see you guys Monday. We'll